Surgery is never a pleasant thing. And man, we've had a bunch of those in this church family in the past year. We've had some real health struggles and health issues. We've lost a lot of, or several of our members here. You know, in times of trouble, you learn some things. And if I were to think of what I might tell our graduating seniors, I think it would be the things that I'm going to talk about tonight. Some things that we know, but sometimes it takes being in certain situations, like surgery, like times of stress, like when our wagon is loaded down, to remind us of some of these very, very important things. Like, for instance, I think that one of the things that I learned is to learn to wait on God. I think that all of us have a tendency to try to get ahead of God. I think that sometimes we think that we are invincible, or that we know what we're doing, or that we just are going to be the masters of our own destiny. And we sometimes get ahead of God. I know one of the things that I really have trouble with is patience. I am not a very patient person, and poor old Pat, she can attest to that for sure. I mean, she is such a patient person. We're just so different. I think that may be the reason why we've been married 52 years, but I'm not very patient, and I know that. And sometimes I need to learn. I need to stop and realize that I have to wait on God. We all do. I think about Moses, and whenever he struck the rock instead of speaking to it like God told him to do, kind of get ahead of God like we sometimes do. And I wonder how that worked out for him. And I think about Sarah. You remember how that God had promised Abraham a great nation through his seed. But they were old and had not had a child. And so Sarah thought that, well, I'll just help God out. And sometimes we justify our getting ahead of God with this kind of thinking. I'll just help God out. Well, that didn't work out too well either. And I think about David. David decided he'd take a road that he had designed and a way that he had charted. And of course, we know that was a bad, bad decision, because the road he took led him to a lot of sorrow and a lot of pain. And it led him away from God and not closer to God. And that's what happens sometimes. When we decide that we're going to design our way or take this road without God's help. And even though our intentions may be good, our decision is really not very good at all. And I think about the rich man who said, I'm going to take care of myself. I am going to seek the material things, and I can do this without God. My crop, my barns, my soul. You remember what God said to him? Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, and then who shall all of these things be? My young friends, you have graduated from high school. You are now going to make some very important decisions. And these decisions that you are going to have to make, because life demands it. It's not like you've got a choice. Life will demand an answer. Life will demand a decision. And these decisions that you're going to make are going to perhaps determine not only the rest of your life, but maybe the rest of your eternity. Make them wisely. Wait on God. Here are some passages of Scripture that remind us of how important it is to wait on God. In Psalms 25, beginning with verse 4, show me your way, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all the day long. In Psalms 37 and verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I'd like to read to you from Psalms 62. Here's a very meaningful and powerful passage, beginning with verse 5. My soul wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, my rock and my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Trust in Him at all times, you my people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. And then I think about Isaiah chapter 40. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then here is Paul's wisdom from Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 24. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience and perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart, that's God. Now He who searches the heart knows the mind of the, of the Spirit, what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, boy, this is a powerful passage here. But we know that all things work together for the good of those that are love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Not everything in life that happens to us is what we would like for to happen. But what God has promised here is that no matter what happens, he will help us to grow or to find some path of that leads to a good thing. And only God can do that. And did you notice who it said that he does it for? He doesn't do it for everyone. But he does it for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. In all the things of our life, in all the decisions of our life, whether we're just graduating from high school or whether we've been down that road of life a long, long way, in all our decisions, wait on God. And then another thing that we all need to learn, and sometimes it takes a lick in the face to remind us to lean on Jesus. There's a song that I wished were in our book. It's not. The words of which are so, so powerful. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Those words are a powerful truth. Finding more power. That's what learning to lean on Jesus does for us. And that's something that he so desires for us to do. You remember the passage we read from Psalms where the psalmist wrote, he's my rock, he's my redeemer. He's my very present help in times of trouble. When we learn to lean on Jesus, we have a power this world does not have. We all need to learn to do that. Paul had to learn to do that. In the passage of Scripture that Dr. Pete read for us a moment ago from 2 Corinthians, that's where Paul is asking the Lord to take away the thorn that's in his flesh. Something that he was dealing with. Maybe it wasn't shoulder surgery. But to Paul, it was something that he felt like that if the Lord would just take it away, that he would be more efficient. He would be more effective in what he was trying to do. And his thought was, I can do more for the Lord if I just don't have to deal with this right now. How many times have we thought like that? Lord, I could do so much more. I'd be so much more. I would be so much more faithful if I didn't have to deal with this financial crisis. I would use my talents a lot more. I'd sign up. Sign Doug's teaching list if I just didn't have to deal with this right now. And that was Paul's thinking. And you remember what the Lord's answer was. He said, I won't take away the thorn, but I got a better idea. I'll just give you more grace. And Paul learned that there was more power than he had ever dreamed when he learned to lean on Jesus. And so this is such an important thing for us to learn or be reminded of. Because in every aspect of life, in every situation we face, we can face it with a great deal more power if we learn to lean on Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. In every temptation, I will make a way for you to escape. Learn to lean. And then in Romans, where Paul just reminds us that there's just nothing more powerful than the love of God and the power that comes when we learn to lean on Him. Listen as we begin in Romans chapter 8 with verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God didn't withhold His Son from us, do you not think that there's anything He won't give you? He's already given you the very most and best thing that He had. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is He condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yea, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am absolutely persuaded that neither death or life or angels or principalities or powers or things present or things to come or height, depth, or any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Learn to lean on Jesus. Another thing that all of us need to learn, but sometimes it takes something drastic in our life or a surgery to make us realize what our priorities ought to be. In our minds, we sometimes think that we are so indispensable. Well, they just can't get along without me at work. I don't know what they'd do without me. Or my friends are just, and sometimes we put ourselves and our desires as priorities. And one of the things about Paul reminds us about exalting ourselves is that sometimes we can really, really have our feet knocked out from under us. And that's what happens sometimes in life, because that's exactly the way life is. My sweet little friends, I wish I could tell you that life for you is always going to be a super highway. That you're not going to run into any bumps along the way. There are not going to be any disappointments. But you've already lived long enough in your 18 years, your 17 years. You've already lived long enough to know that that's not true. I wish I could tell you that life is going to be fair, but it very often is not. And sometimes bad things happen to really good people. So I'm not trying to say that life can't be fun. Life cannot be interesting. That life cannot be challenging. That you cannot enjoy life, because you can and you must. But what I am telling you is that if you get your priorities out of whack, then you are going to be headed down a road that's a dead-end street. Prodigal son learned that. When the devil made life seemed like that the only thing worth doing was to have a good time. Oh, he showed him the bright lights of the far country and convinced him that that's exactly what he needed to put as a priority in his life. And he did. Oh, he did. He got his inheritance. And son, he got on a caravan going to the far country, and it was everything the devil had promised him it would be. Bright lights. Friends. Oh, as long as he had the money to spend, he had friends everywhere. Fared sumptuously, wore the nicest of clothes. The problem with the pleasures of sin, the writer of Hebrews tells us, is that it does not last. They're only for a while. They're only temporary. And when a famine came to the land, and he didn't have any more money, and he couldn't find a job. He lost his house. He lost his fair weather friends. Gone. And he found himself in a hog pen. You see, the devil doesn't paint that picture. He doesn't tell you what's at the end of the dead end street. And he found himself in a hog pen. And you know what? When he came to himself, you know the only place he wanted to be? Home. Home. He just wanted to go home. And he did. Thank God he did. And when he got there, he found a loving, caring, forgiving father. And his speech was already written out. Father, I'm not worthy to be called son. Just make me a servant. His father said, no, you're my son. You were lost. You're found. You were dead. You're alive. You will always be my son. And so priorities are so important. Do not be fooled or deceived into thinking that the purpose of this life is things. The Bible doesn't ever say that the things of this life are not important. In Mark chapter 4, where the Lord is telling about the sowing of the seed, and it says that some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and he calls it the cares of the world. And he said they choked out the seed, and it died. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, Jesus said that the world makes demands. Life makes demands. You've got to make a living. You have responsibilities. No one ever said that you don't. And there's nothing wrong with having fun in this life and enjoying it if it's the right kind. There are demands that life makes on us. But Jesus asked the question in Matthew 6 and verse 25, is life not more than meat and body more than raiment? There's something more to it. And he answers the question in Matthew 6 and verse 33 that he asks, is there not more? And there he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. And he gives a warning in Luke chapter 21 and verse 34 when he says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with the cares of this life. And then finally tonight, one of the things that we really need to learn is to appreciate our family and our brothers and sisters in Christ, our church family. If you're blessed with a great family, and you are, then you have an awesome, awesome strength. You need to learn to appreciate your family, and you're going to. You know, now at this point, you've lived at home, and for several of you, you're going to be moving away into a different situation. You're going to have to be making some of these decisions that your mother and daddy made for you. You're going to have to start making them on your own. You're going to find out. You're going to find out down the road when you start to have to pay the utility bill and the gas and the insurance on the car and the food and da 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 da, a list about this long. How neat it was to get to live at home and daddy pay you those bills. Man, I thought it was something. I didn't mind driving all over town when I could drive up to Homer's Esso station and say, fill it up and charge it to Bo Cubberth. You could do that back then in a small town. We don't even have Esso anymore, but that's pretty neat. And I didn't mind spinning them tires, man, down Main Street. We drug Main Street. That was the deal. Drag Main Street up and down Main Street. And go to Teeble's Dairy Queen. That's where that was the end place. Even had car hops back then. So that was pretty neat. But I didn't spend those tires when I had to buy them. I didn't drive any place I didn't have to when I was buying the gas. You learn to appreciate your family, especially whenever you're in times of trouble. The prayers of your brethren are a powerful thing. And I just want to tell you how much I personally appreciate the prayers that you've said on my behalf because of my surgery. I really, really appreciate it more than I could ever tell you. Thank you so much. And I think me talking about that, James says the prayer of a righteous man accomplishes a lot. And I'd like to add the prayers of children are what really accomplish a lot. And I asked before the surgery, if you remember, for you to pray for me, but I begged for our children to pray for me. Man, they're the ones that get through. And I know that must have made an impression, because this morning, Virgil and I were sitting out there on our seat of wisdom, and little Price, I call him Little Bull. Little Bull comes up and he shows me his finger. Oh, and he's got this Band-Aid on it. And oh, he went into this long, drawn out, detailed description about how he had gotten a cut on his finger. And I said, well, Little Bull, do you want me to pray for you? He said, I do. And so I pray for Little Bull and his cut on his finger. And you know, it's something when your children, your little children, realize that God answers prayers. And so for your prayers, for your concern, for your wonderful, wonderful cards, I got one card I just have to share with you. The card said on the front, I told the TV station that you had surgery, and they didn't care. So I told them that you had a bomb, and they're over on the way over. Be sure to tell them that you had surgery. So... So your cards have meant a lot to me. They put a smile on my face, and I appreciate them. I appreciate all that you do. In Galatians 6 and verse 2, there Paul writes and says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law. Did you ever wonder what law he was talking about? In John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, Jesus says there, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another as I have loved you. And watch this now. And so fulfill the law. The law that should help to distinguish us as children of God is the one that says, love one another. These are powerful truths that we need to know. May God help us each one as we strive to serve the Lord. If we can help you, will you come? Together we stand and sing.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today, Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, bring him thy burden and thou wilt be blessed, he will not turn thee away. Calling today, Jesus is waiting. Oh, come to him now. Waiting today, waiting today. Come with thy sins at his feet lowly bow. Come and no longer delay. Calling today. Calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is pleading, oh, list to his voice. Hear him today, hear him today. They who believe in his name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and away.
Be seated.
Don't worry about the thunder. That's just God saying amen. I'm a little confused of whether he's saying amen to what I said or amen that I'm finally through. But anyway, amen.